Just before Christmas, it was brought to my attention, you may have heard of Ernest Hemingway, the famous author, and his six-word story. Apparently he had a wager with some friends that he could write an entire story in six words. And you can Google this later when you get home. He did, and he won his wager. And it got me thinking, because I was thinking about a title for this morning's message, and you will have seen probably that the title I've chosen is six words. And it's an entire story. If you're a believer, it's your entire story that you can tell. The Lord, my helper, my keeper. Just six words sums up the entire story. Well, 2020 has been a year to forget for most of us listening this morning, most people in the world even. And yet it's a year we won't forget. All of it so unexpected. In the West particularly, we've grown used to comfort and security and long life, and all of that has been shaken. And here we are at the start of 2021, and we're still not out of the woods, months away from anything like normal life. One of the buzzwords has been protect. Protect yourself. Protect the NHS. Protect your elderly relatives. We've had shielding. We've had PPE, personal protective equipment. And the mantra, hands, face, space, is all about protection. And yet the ongoing daily statistics are a sad reminder that any protection we have is at best incomplete. It's only partial, for the virus still runs rampant around the land, indeed around the globe. It's been a roller coaster, hasn't it? Back in December, great celebrations, the arrival of a vaccine, at last protection, and we give thanks to God, we do. We give thanks to God for the skills that he's given to men and women to develop and to create these things. But then the very next thing we know, just a matter of days, a week later, a new variant of the virus. And Christmas is cancelled, well, 5 days down the line anyway. And we've grown weary of lockdowns. We've grown weary of tears, T-I-E-R-S, and we've had enough of tears, T-E-A-R-S as well. As Christians, what do? We turn to God's words, and there are many scriptures in God's word that speak of God as our protector. And in the light of all that's going on, these take on a fresh significance to us, and how good it is that we can turn to him, to the Lord, as our protection. And so on this first Lord's Day of 2021, I want to take you to Psalm 121. I believe the Lord directed me very clearly to this, and then graciously after that, on two separate occasions, confirmed it in remarkable ways. That's our subject, our passage this morning, Psalm 121, the Lord, my helper, my keeper. And you'll see this psalm divides into two unequal halves. There's verses 1 to 2, and then verse 3 to 8. Verse 1 to 2, the opening theme is laid out for us. The Lord, my helper. The key word, the little Hebrew word for help in verse 1. Where does my help come? Verse 2, my help comes from the Lord. And what I want you to notice here in these opening verses is the psalmist is talking to himself. I lift up to my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He's talking to himself. And actually, talking to yourself is a good thing to do. Talking to yourself is much healthier than listening to yourself. The trouble is, if you listen to yourself, you're likely to hear things like this. I can't face this. This is too hard for me. No, it's much better, much healthier, spiritually speaking, to talk to yourself like the psalmist does, rather than listen to yourself. I lift my eyes to where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord. So the theme there of the first two verses, the Lord my helper, but the major theme, three quarters of the psalm, the remainder, is the Lord my keeper. And the little Hebrew word for keep or keeper is the key word here. It's used six times over. Now I remember various things from school days, and I remember my English O-level teacher stressing to us that we shouldn't repeat words. It's bad style. You should look for variation and use different words. But this is not English O-level or English GCSE. This is God's word. And if the original has a word repeated, we should, where we can in English, repeat it consistently. There's a reason for it. That's why I asked Chris to read from the ESV. Of all the English translations I've consulted, it's the only one that consistently translates keep throughout. Six times over, look at it with me. Verse 3, he who keeps you will not slumber. Verse 4, he who keeps Israel. Verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. Verse 7 is twice. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. And then verse 8, the Lord will keep your going out and your coming in. This is an intensely personal psalm. The word you or your is repeated 10 times over, and in the original it is singular. We can't tell in English whether it's singular or plural, but I can confirm to you it's singular. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. He's your keeper, and so on. It's a very personal psalm. And as such, it's a psalm that every believer can use. God's message to us this morning, I believe, is this. Fear not as you continue your journey through the coming year, for the Lord is your helper and your keeper. And I wonder, for those listening this morning, whether online or in this building, can you say that? Have you cast yourself upon him? Have you called upon him as your Saviour? And do you know him as your helper and your keeper? A little background, you'll see that this is called a Song of Ascents. It's one of a group of 15 short psalms, which we believe, were used by the pilgrims on their way to the three annual feasts in Jerusalem. Maybe they sung them together in unison, or maybe we can imagine a leader leading off and then the rest joining in or responding. We don't know exactly. But what is apparent, these 15 psalms, there are links between them. We can see a progression. The pilgrimage begins in the first one, 120, verse 5. Woe is me that I dwell in Meshech, I dwell amongst the tents of Kedar. Now before you get your atlas out and look for where Meshech and Kedar are, they're basically, one is far away to the north and the other is far away to the south. It's like saying, even though I'm as far away as Timbuktu. And then as they journey, they catch sight of hills. 121 verse 1, I lift my eyes to the hills, maybe the hills that they pass or the hills of Jerusalem in the distance. And then Psalm 122, they arrive at the city gates. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. And then right on through to 134, the repeated focus on Jerusalem, the temple, the ark, and the climax of the great call to worship in 134 verse 1, come bless the Lord, all you servants of the Lord, who stand by night in the house of the Lord. Lift your hands to the holy place and bless the Lord. These are psalms for a pilgrimage. And we're on a pilgrimage. You didn't think we were here forever, did you? 2020 was just one stage on that pilgrimage. A particularly challenging stage, but just one stage. And 2021 is the next stage. We journey on until we're called home to glory or until the Saviour returns. Fear not, Christian. As you continue your journey through the coming year, the Lord is your helper and your keeper. So then let's look at these opening verses. The Lord, my helper. I lift my eyes to the hills. Now, to lift up your eyes is good counsel, is good advice. I have to say, many of the time when I'm in one of my downbeat moods, my wife will say to me, you need the upward look. And how true that is. We do need to look up sometimes. We're just looking at our boots all the time, aren't we? And we get downcast. I lift up my eyes. Well, that raises the question, to what or to whom do we lift our eyes? And the poet, the psalmist, says, to the hills. The Hebrew word can mean hill, can mean mountain. Hebrew doesn't distinguish like we do between a hill and a mountain. And the reference is a little enigmatic here. What is he referring to when he says, I lift my eyes to the hills? Well, there's one idea that we can dispense with, and that's the idea of the hills as a place of solace, a place of refuge. We have a hymn, it's actually in our Word of Life Praise, Timothy Dudley Smith's, and it opens with these words, I lift my eyes to the quiet hills. No, that's not the picture. It's not a kind of picture of solace and refuge. Just before Christmas, we happened to spot that The Sound of Music was on, so we decided to have an evening of nostalgia, my wife and I, to watch a movie. So we watched The Golden Oldies, singing along to all the songs. I know you feel sorry for us, but that's just what we do. But in there, towards the end, as the Von Trapp family have to, escaping from the Nazis, they have to flee across the mountains into Switzerland to safety. And the Mother Superior comes to Maria, and she tries to encourage her, but I will lift my eyes to the hills. And at that point I screamed out, no, 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 that is not what the psalmist means. He is not saying that the hills are your safety, are your refuge. Psalm 11 has this refrain. Verse 1, in the Lord I put my trust. How can you say to my soul, flee as a bird to the mountain? How can you say that, says the psalmist? It's fair to say that in Bible times the hills were more likely to be seen as a menace. They were the haunts of bandits and of wild animals. So we can put away that idea that we might have, almost kind of romantic idea of the hills, a place of refuge. There are two main possibilities. It could well be that the reference is to the hilltop shrines, the high places that are scattered around Israel. And personally, I favour this view, but I won't insist on it if you don't agree with me. On their journey, the pilgrims would have passed many hills with their high places, shrines, altars where idol worship took place. And over again, these are mentioned and condemned in the scriptures. 2 Kings 14 verse 4, for instance. The high places were not taken away, and the people still sacrificed and burned incense on the hills. It's condemned by the prophets, for instance, Jeremiah 3:23. In vain is salvation hoped for from the hills, from the multitude of the mountains. Truly in the Lord our God is salvation. So maybe the psalmist is saying, don't lift your eyes to the hills, to the higher places, to your idols. Your idols won't help you. They won't protect you. They won't protect you when the psalm was written, and they won't protect you in 2021. What are the 21st century idols? You probably don't go up and climb up a hill and worship at a shrine, but the idols that are around us, the idol of money, the idol of my job. Tragically, so many of people have had these wrenched away from them this past year. Or the idol of science. I read an article the other week by Professor Brian Cox at the time when the vaccine was announced. And he was virtually singing the praise of science as though scientists were God. I speak as a scientist myself. I was a scientist before I was a pastor. Science is not God. God gave to the scientists their skills and abilities. I lift my eyes to the hills. Maybe he's referring then to the high places, the idol shrines. Maybe, and this is a popular view, the reference is to the hills of Jerusalem, which the pilgrims see are coming into view as they approach. So for instance, 125 verse 2, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people from this time forth and forever. So whether it's the hilltop shrines or whether it's the hills of Jerusalem, the message is the same. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. And again, we have this in the next Psalm, 123 verse 1. Unto you I lift up my eyes, O you who dwell in the heavens. Or 124 verse 8. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. It's not to the hills and their idol shrines. Not there he looks for help. Not to the hills of the city. Not there he looks for help. But to the Creator who made those hills. We don't look to our money, to our jobs, to science. We don't look to the government even. Very often the first question, what's the government doing about it? God puts governments there, and we thank God for that. And if you haven't listened to what Simon preached on the 6th of December, you need to do so, because it's spot on and helps us to understand. No, we don't look to the hills. We don't look to our idols. We look to the Creator. He who created the hills, the mighty mountains. He's more than equal to every emergency. The heaven and the earth are at his disposal. He is Yahweh, the Creator God. Here is true help. His is power without limits, wisdom without boundaries, infinitely creative in all that he does. As we sang in our opening hymn, who has held the oceans in his hand? And don't forget the Christmas message to too quickly, will you? We've just celebrated the Creator of all things. John 1 verse 3, all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. The Sovereign One, willing to humble Himself, take flesh, become one of us, for our sinners, our sake as sinners. Friend, if you lift your eyes to Him as your help, it is inconceivable that He would let you down. The Lord my helper. But the remainder of the psalm is the Lord my keeper. In the opening two verses he's speaking to himself, but verse 3 to 8 is the reassuring response. Either the psalmist provides his own reassurance, or perhaps another pilgrim supplies it. It doesn't matter. The Lord my keeper. And the key word is this word to keep. It means to hedge, to guard, to protect. To hedge. Think perhaps of a hawthorn hedge planted around to keep out the wild animals and the intruders. To guard, think of a guard perhaps handcuffed to the prisoner so that the prisoner has no chance of being lost. To protect, so look out of our window in the morning and I see the parents walking their children to the school, very often holding their hands, protecting them, keeping them from danger, from traffic. The Lord my keeper. It must be clear what the scripture teaches, what this psalm teaches. God's word doesn't say that you'll never have any trouble, that there'll be no problems, there'll be no difficulties. Jesus said to his disciples, in the world you will have tribulation. God's blessing and favour can be and often is mingled with trials. But what the word of God does say is the Lord is your helper and your keeper. Jesus said, in the world you'll have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So let's consider these verses then. And the first thing we see is the Lord my keeper at all times. The Lord my keeper at all times, verses 3 and 4. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The word to be moved here means to slip, to slide, to wobble. And your path through 2021 may be difficult. You may feel ready to slip. You may feel ready to slide and wobble. But He is ever alert, the Lord my keeper, at all times. You never have to shake Him to get His attention. Do you know people who, perhaps you have people in your own household, you know, you'd say to them, well, even if it was an earthquake, they wouldn't wake up. You never have to shake Him to get His attention. He's never off duty. When you're about to slip or slide or wobble, you never get the message saying, please leave your message after the tone. Or your call is important to us, please wait. You never get a reply to an email saying, out of office till Monday the 4th of January. Incidentally, this is one reason why I favour the understanding of the hills as being the high places, the place where the idols are worshipped, because I go back in my mind to the story of Elijah and the prophets of Baal. Do you remember them? And how Elijah taunted them to say, cry aloud to your God, for He's a God. Perhaps He's meditating, perhaps He's busy, perhaps He's asleep and needs to be woken up. The Lord neither slumbers nor sleeps. So thought, we spend roughly a third of our life asleep. Have you ever thought about that? How helpless and vulnerable you are, and I am, when we are asleep. And yet even when we are asleep, He keeps Israel, it says here. He keeps His people, not just His Old Testament people, but His New Testament people, us collectively, and of course every individual one of us. Behold, He who keeps Israel neither slumbers nor sleeps. If you've been a Christian for a while, isn't that your testimony as you look back? Don't you have to admit as you review 2020, we might have been caught napping, but God wasn't caught napping. Some people I know listening this morning have not been Christians for very long, perhaps a matter of weeks or months. If you're just starting out on your pilgrimage, listen to the testimony of other pilgrims who've been on the journey longer than you, and they say, will say to you, Lord, my keeper at all times. We move to verses 5 and 6. The Lord, my keeper in all dangers. The Lord my keeper in all dangers. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun will not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. Your shade on your right hand. And we take this word shade in the sense of a shadow or in the sense of a shield. Think of a shadow for a moment. Sometimes my wife will refer to the cat as her shadow. Me and my shadow. What she means is it's always there. It never leaves me alone. Maybe you know somebody like that and you think, well, it's like my shadow. It never leaves me alone. Maybe that's the sense. Or we could take it in the sense of a shield. Think of the blistering heat of the Middle Eastern sun, if any of you have ever experienced that. You need a shade, you need a shield to shield you from that heat. The sun shall not strike you by day, it says. Strike, that word implies that there is danger. The sun represents the most overwhelming of forces with its heat and its light. But then he says, nor the moon by night. And that's perhaps a little puzzle. Why do you need shelter from the moon, the much gentler light of the moon? Now, I know that in some cultures the moon is associated with insanity, so we have the word lunatic. But we don't need to assume that's what the psalmist means here. No, I think it's more likely it means something else. Having two opposite extremes is a Hebrew way of expressing the total sum of something. Taking two opposite extremes is saying this, that, and everything in between. There's a classic example of that in Romans chapter 8. Neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So these verses 5 and 6 are saying to us, the Lord my keeper in all dangers. All dangers. And Christian brother or sister, your path through 2021 may be dangerous. Doubtless there are many dangers, some of them unseen. And you may be asleep. But he isn't. The Lord my keeper in all dangers. He who created heaven and earth. He who created the sun and the moon. He is your keeper. Verse 7, we move to the Lord my keeper from all evil. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. He will keep you from evil. I hardly need to prove to you there is plenty of evil in this world. God doesn't promise us a cushioned life, but a protected one. Some words of Jesus in Luke 21, which I find fascinating. You might think there's a contradiction. I might think there's a contradiction, but Jesus sees no contradiction whatsoever. Listen to this. This is Luke 21, verse 16. To his disciples, you will be betrayed, even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends. They will put some of you to death. And then in the next breath he says, but not a hair of your head will be lost. You see what he's saying? You are safe with the Lord as your keeper. Yes, even in the evil of betrayal, some of us have experienced betrayal. In the evil of persecution, even martyrdom, he says, you could not be more secure. So fear not as you continue your journey through the coming year. The Lord is your helper and your keeper. My keeper from all evil. If the Lord is my keeper, does that mean I can relax, let down my guard? No. Because Jesus himself teaches us to ask, to pray for the very thing that he promises. He promises to keep us from evil, but what does he teach us to pray? Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Next, as we move into verse 8, we see the Lord my keeper in every detail of life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in. Your going out and your coming in, all embracing terms. In a sense, the poet is simply emphasizing what he's already told us. Nevertheless, I think the emphasis here is on every detail of our daily lives. In 2 Kings 19, verse 27, the Lord says to the king of Assyria, I know you're sitting down and you're going out and you're coming in. In other words, I know every detail of your life and what you're doing. Psalm 126, another one of the Psalms of Ascent, verse 6, he who goes out weeping, bearing the seed for sowing, shall come home with shouts of joy, bringing the sheaves with him. Sowing and reaping, two of the biggest parts of life, rural life, in Bible times. A picture of going out to work and coming home to rest. Going out to travel and returning home. Weeping or rejoicing, whatever you're doing, in every detail of your daily life, wherever you are, in 2021, the Lord, my keeper, in every detail of daily life. And then we finish with these words, from this time forth and forevermore. The Lord my keeper at all times, in all dangers, from all evil, in every detail of daily life. And finally, the Lord my keeper for time and eternity. So he's saying, just in case I've missed anything else, I'm including it all now. The Lord my keeper for time and eternity, from this time forth and forevermore, throughout life, however long or short it may be, and on into eternity. And do we have a guarantee? Yes, we do. What is the guarantee of this? It is none other than our Lord Jesus Christ, whoever lives, risen and living forever. In this we have the advantage over the Old Testament saints who could anticipate the coming of the Saviour. We know the coming of the Saviour and we know all about him. This is he who said, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. This is he who prayed in John 17, keep them. And why did he say keep them? Keep them that they may be with me where I am and behold my glory which you have given me. He keeps us so that one day we will see his glory. And we will. We will. This is he who continues to pray. He's Hebrews 7:25, able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he always lives to make intercession for him. This is the Lamb of God who laid down his life in our place. This is the Good Shepherd who gathers his sheep safely into eternal glory. Listen to Revelation 7:16 and see some of the same language that we have here in our psalm. There, speaking of Christ and the glorified saints in the eternal bliss of heaven, they shall hunger no more, nor thirst any more. The sun shall not strike them, nor any heat. For the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne will shepherd them, and lead them to fountains of waters, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. The Lord my helper, my keeper. My keeper at all times. My keeper in all dangers. My keeper from all evil. My keeper in every detail of life. My keeper for time and eternity. I don't know what 2021 holds for you and me. It's impossible to know, but if you reel back the clock to January 2020, who could have guessed what that year would hold? But knowing the Lord my helper, my keeper, is what sustains us. I received this message just before Christmas. I've changed the name, but it's a guy who was here in April 2016 for my induction service when we began our ministry here. And Don writes, sometimes we get news we could do without. In the last 3 weeks, I've had a number of hospital visits and scans, resulting in an appointment yesterday. We were informed there was a lump in my neck near the previous cancer surgery. This will need a biopsy. I've lost a lot of weight recently caused by difficulty in swallowing food. I have an appointment for an overnight stay next week for an op which will help with my food intake. Now, how do you get through things like that? He goes on to write, These obstacles are there in our pathway of life. We have the Lord Jesus who is walking that path with us, giving thanks to our Heavenly Father, our Saviour, the Lord Jesus, and the Holy Comforter. How can Don do that? Because he knows that the Lord is his helper, his keeper. Well, someone else, a lady, Jill, who was also here in April 2016 for that service. There are many things we don't know. Many things Jill didn't know. She didn't know why God allowed her to suffer chronic pain for so long. She didn't know why she'd inherited macular degeneration such that she became dependent on a guide dog. She didn't know why it was she was diagnosed with stage 4 ovarian cancer and wouldn't see her grandchildren grow up. She didn't know why she didn't see her prayers answered to save her husband, the only unbeliever in the family. But she did know the Lord Jesus as her helper and her keeper. And that she was going home to be with him forever. I asked Chris to read the words from Jude. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. To the only God, our Saviour, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion and authority before all time, now and forever. Amen.